美国施打新冠疫苗超过 1.5 亿剂。美国与盟友磋商针对北京奥运方针。佛罗里达工业废水池泄漏，上百居民撤离。
美东时间4月6号星期二，北京时间4月7号星期三，欢迎收看美国观察，我们从美国首都华盛顿为您现场直播。拜登总统周二宣布，美国施打的新冠疫苗突破了 1.5 亿剂，希望很快就能跟世界的其他国家分享疫苗。白宫发言人周二指出，拜登政府与中国竞争的做法获得美国民众以及两党的支持。详细情况请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅来介绍。耀毅。
那我们知道拜登政府呢推出一个价值将近这个2万亿美元的基础建设方案，在上个星期，那么当中是希望国会能够批准这个方案，当中包括呢重建并且增强一些美国的基础设施，像一些基本的像是道路与桥梁等等，到高科技的包括电动车的这充电站，包括这个宽带网络等等的这个基础计划。那拜登总统说呢，美国必须要先增强本身的实力，未来呢才有办法与中国这个竞争对手在国际上来竞争。那么星期二在白宫新闻简报会上呢，白宫发言人沙奇再次的强调与中国竞争的重要性，并且说呢，这个是获得了美国人民以及国会两党的一致的共识。我们来看一下沙奇今天在白宫是怎么说的。
There's agreement across Democrats, Republicans, frankly, the American people, that we need to do more to invest here at home in order to compete with China. And he has conveyed, too, that his, and I have, I guess, as well, that our approach to our relationship with China is to come to that relationship from a position of strength. And that includes investing at home, ensuring that our workforce, our infrastructure, our broadband access is at a rate where it would strengthen our owninfrastructure and workforce here so that we can compete globally. There's also been proposed legislation, I'm not sure if it's been formally dropped yet, but by Senator Schumer and others, that is focused on how we can better invest in our workforce to compete with China. We anticipate there's an opportunity for that to be bipartisan, because investing in our workforce here is something that Democrats and Republicans can agree on.
此外呢，拜登总统在星期二也去造访了一个疫苗接种所，位在弗吉尼亚州的伊曼纽尔教堂。他在那边呢与医护人员还有来接种疫苗的民众交谈。那拜登总统下午回到白宫之后呢，下午4点多他在白宫的国宴厅发表演说，来讲述一下在他上任之后美国现在疫苗接种的情况。他说呢，现在已经突破了他原本制定的目标。我们看一下拜登总统今天在白宫是怎么说的。
Yesterday, we crossed 150 million shots in 75 days, the first 75 days of my administration, on our way to hitting our goal of 200 million shots by the 100th day in office.
那拜登总统在1月20号就职当天所设下的这个百日抗疫的目标呢，是要在100天之内来为民众接种1亿剂的这个新冠病毒疫苗，现在已经突破了。新的目标呢，是在100天之内来接种2亿剂的疫苗。那拜登总统说呢，现在有将近三分之一的美国人口，大约40%的美国成年人接受了至少一剂的疫苗，而约有1/5的人口已经完成完全的接种。而光是在4月3号星期六一天呢，就创下了一天有400万人接种的记录。那拜登总统说呢，现在疫苗的接种情况很顺利，希望呢很快的在未来就能够让美国有足够的疫苗来跟世界上其他的国家分享。他说呢，因为并不是盖一座墙就能够阻隔疫苗，所以呢，光是在美国境内打击疫情是不够的，必须要在全世界都来对抗这个新冠疫苗，才能够彻底的解决新冠病毒的疫情。卡拉，
好的，感谢耀毅的详细报道。美国副总统哈里斯周二下午到访芝加哥，并在一个由工会大楼改建的疫苗站发表讲话。他感谢了芝加哥工会在疫苗分配上所做的努力，并希望在场的工会成员积极鼓励身边的人接种疫苗。哈里斯希望民众通过接种疫苗让美国发展得更好。
Please help us to tell your friends and your family members and your coworkers.That when it's their turn to get vaccinated, remind people of their power to do something that will save their lives. Because, you know, here's the thing. You've been reading about this thing called vaccine hesitancy. Some people just like, I don't know. Well, if you talk with them and talk about your experience, you will convince people. So I'm here to ask you to do that. Let's get back to better. Let's build back better, as Joe Biden likes to say.
涉及乔治·弗洛伊德之死案的明尼阿波利斯前警官德里克·肖文的审判本周继续。在周一，该市的警察局长莫德里亚·亚拉东多出庭作证，称在弗洛伊德停止抵抗之后，肖文依然跪压在他的脖子上的做法违反警察局培训政策以及价值观。亚拉东多分析说，去年的5月25日，在事发最初，警官们对弗洛伊德的执法做法是合理的，但应该很快停止。
But once there was no longer any resistance, and clearly when Mr. Floyd was no longer responsive and even motionless, to continue to apply that level of force to a person proned out, handcuffed behind their back, that in no way, shape, or form is anything that is by policy, is not part of our training, and it is certainly not part of our ethics or our values.
54岁的亚拉东多是明尼阿波利斯市的首位非裔警察局长，他在案发后立即采取了行动。
It is my firm belief that the one singular incident we will be judged forever on will be our use of force. And so,while it is absolutely imperative that our officers go home at the end of their shift, we want to make sure and ensure that our community members go home too. And so sanctity of life is absolutely vital, that is the pillar for our use of force.
周一同样出庭作证的还有该警察局培训部门的负责警官凯蒂布莱克维尔，他否认跪压脖子的做法是训练的一部分。肖文面临谋杀罪和过失杀人罪的指控，但他并不认罪。由于一座有毒的工业废水池发生泄漏，佛罗里达州坦帕湾附近地区已经撤离了上百名居民。当地政府正在实施紧急措施，防止发生废水进入海湾的灾难事件。当地渔民对这一次的事故可能产生的环境影响感到担忧。来看报道。
This ground is a little bit higher than down where the other areas are, so we feel comfortable to stay here, even with the hurricanes and everything, and we didn't evacuate.
Since I retired from the fire department, I now am a full-time commercial fisherman and crabber, and if all of this water is pumped in or leaked into the bay, it could be catastrophic to the entire fishery and could, in essence, put us out of business.
2022年北京冬奥会面临抵制，美国国务院发言人普莱斯星期二在例行记者会上表示，美国正就有关北京冬奥会事宜和盟友密切磋商，协调针对北京政府的决策和方针。美国关切北京的侵犯人权行为，包括在新疆发生的种族灭绝。
Part of our review of those Olympics and our thinking will involve close consultations with partners and allies around the world. We have consistently said when it comes to our concerns with the government in Beijing, including Beijing's egregious human rights violations, its conduct of genocide in the case of Xinjiang,that what the United States does is meaningful, what the United States does will have impact, but everything we do that brings along our allies and partners will have all the more influence.
普莱斯表示，上周美国和英国、加拿大、欧盟共同对在新疆犯下暴行的人实施一系列制裁。美国正在协调这些令人关注的议题，包括对北京冬奥会的持续讨论。普莱斯还说，美国与北京的交流主要是竞争关系，也包括对抗与合作层面。但在美国针对北京的方针上，美国会继续秉持保护美国与盟友利益以及维护美国价值两个原则。美国海军星期二证实，罗斯福号航母战斗群在4月4日再次进入南中国海进行例行作业。美国海军在一份声明中表示，罗斯福号航母战斗群在南中国海将进行海上打击演习、反潜作战、战术协同训练等活动。今年2月，美国罗斯福号航母战斗群和尼米兹号航母战斗群曾进入南中国海进行联合演习。海军少将维里西莫说，在战斗群的部署过程中，美国与澳大利亚、印度、日本、马来西亚和韩国等盟友合作重返南中国海。他说，致力于航行自由是一件很棒的事。国际货币基金组织 IMF 星期二公布的新的经济预测数字显示，全球经济今年的增长前景较几个月前明显好转，全球经济和美中两大经济体的增长幅度都出现了大幅上调。 IMF 的报告称，美国经济的反弹力度强于预期，今年可望实现 6.4% 的增长，中国今年的经济增速将达到 8.4%。IMF 的世界经济展望报告中预测，今年全球经济增长率将会达到 6%。如果预测实现，这将是40年来全球经济的最高增速。不过 IMF 同时也提醒，由于不平等现象的加剧，发达经济体与欠发达经济体之间也将出现分化。美国研究机构的一份新报告揭露，中国与发展中国家签订的贷款协议包含了不寻常的保密条款，可能会影响这些国家的内政和外交政策，而这些保密条款在一带一路项目实施后尤为突出。尽管中国近两年来大幅度减少了针对国际基础设施的资金投入，但是一带一路当中国力量遭遇世界一说的作者傅立门警告说，一带一路是习近平的最重要的个人政绩和标志之一，中共不会轻易放弃，必须警惕一带一路卷土重来。
We can also see that the volumes of Chinese overseas lending have basically collapsed. China is not initiating very many new overseas projects in the traditional type, like roads or ports, bridges, power stations.But that doesn't mean that One Belt, One Road has died of coronavirus, because the Belt and Road concept was never really just about building infrastructure. It's about something much bigger. It's a political campaign that has domestic and international components about rejuvenating China's lost imperial glory and repositioning China at the center of the global system.Global political circles and also of global economic exchanges. Which means that China can use the hundreds of millions of doses it has already produced and stockpiled, as gifts of this kind, to consolidate its diplomatic relations.And present itself as a global leader in public health. So while the United States spends the first few months of 2021 trying to achieve herd immunity and get back to normal, China can be focusing on spreading the word and hopefully turning the page on 2020.
We started to see a little bit of a change towards solar and wind. I think China's really poised to be a leader, given the fact that China's a leader on that at home. And they've been successful in using these policy banks, for instance, the ones that we track in our database, to help firms at home to become more globalized.
Authoritarian toolkit that is essentially a goodie bag to any dictator who wants to surveil their political opponents and stay in power. There's Chinese facial recognition technology that's being rolled out abroad that was originally being tested on Uyghurs. There's smart city technology that's supposed to reduce crime. These things are serious, and while they're disturbing to many Western democracies, they also are attractive to a lot of dictators in the developing world. The perspective of Communist Party cadres up and down the chain, this is not really an option. Even if you believe that the motivations of the Belt and Road are wrong or confused, you have no choice but to serve it because it's a form of loyalty test. Criticism and reproach within the Chinese system. And if Xi Jinping wanted to abandon it, COVID-19 would have provided an excuse. So the fact that the entire Chinese Communist Party is doubling down on this, I think should tell us that it is here to stay for as long as Xi Jinping remains in power and possibly beyond.美国股市周二从前一天的历史高位小幅回落，与经济重启关系密切的航空旅游等板块涨势依然明显。道琼斯指数受报3万3440点24点，跌幅为0.3%。纳斯达克指数受报13647.4点，跌幅为0.05。标普500受报4074.9点，跌幅为0.1%。经济数据面，劳工部的数据显示，二月底美国的职位空缺增加了26万7000个，达到740万个，是两年来的最高水平，要高于经济学家预期的700万个。市场继续谨慎评估拜登2万亿基础设施建设计划的前景。虽然基建项目获得国会跨党派的支持，但是关于投资规模和是否应该提高企业税，仍然面临激烈的讨论。 美国观察每天美东时间下午，北京时间早上6点到6点半，在 YouTube、 推特、脸书平台同步直播，欢迎您在直播间给我们留言和提问。在接下来的节目中，我们将看一看美国国家航空航天局 NASA 的毅力号火星探测车的最新动态，期待在节目中与您互动，分享您的意见。 美国国家航空航天局 NASA 的毅力号火星探测车计划于近期开始采集火星表面骨河床岩石样本。毅力号搭载的机智号直升机将在火星进行首次飞行，引发人们的关注。Release.
It'll be the first powered flight by an aircraft on another planet. And we've, in fact, met most of our goals for this project just by getting to the point where we are right now.
The first and foremost challenge is to make a vehicle that's light enough, you know, to be lifted. And then second is to generate lift. The rotor system has just been very fast.
In ingenuity. Here you see engineers installing that small piece of fabric.
So when the Wright brothers, you know, flew for the first time, you know, they didn't fly a fully equipped passenger airplane. They flew an experimental aircraft to show that it's possible to do powered flight, sustained powered flight in Earth's atmosphere. And in the same way, the Mars helicopter is designed to show that we can fly powered helicopter flight in the Martian atmosphere.
If this thing works, our capability to explore Mars is going to expand by orders of magnitude, both with purely robotic and combined human-robot exploration.
探索技术公司公布了全民间的机组成员名单。另外一个新的研究检视了长期空间旅行对人体的影响。来看美国之音记者阿拉巴萨迪的报道。
美国私营太空探索技术公司 SpaceX 上周从德克萨斯州博卡奇卡一个大雾天成功测试发射无人的星舰11火箭。当火箭在返回地球中爆炸后几分钟，这个测试匆匆结束。SpaceX 的工程师约翰·因斯普鲁克当时正在评论
：“When we got to 10 kilometers, the entry, we had some nice views from the exterior camera showing the flaps were quiet as we descended, but then we had the camera freeze up as we got into the engine ignition sequence, and so we're going to have to find out from the team what happened.”
因斯普鲁克说到星舰十一号接收到的最终定格图像。而且他明确表示视频画面不会恢复。残骸碎片最远散落到距离着陆点8公里的地方。与此同时，美国国会的一个委员会宣布根据去年12月主管官员指出该公司违反商业性发射规定而就安全要求进行调查。尽管如此， SpaceX 仍然传出了一个好消息。该公司宣布了在其所谓全世界第一个全民间航天任务中计划派出的最终机组人员名单。灵感四人组任务目前包括一名工程师和一名教师，预定9月15号以后才会从美国宇航局在佛罗里达州的肯尼迪航天中心发射。SpaceX 公司举行过一次抽奖活动来选择机组人员。
And there the two 1-year crew members Scott Kelly, Mikhail Kornienko。
另一则新闻是循环期刊发表了一份报告说在太空中人的心脏会变小。从2015年到2016年，宇航员斯科特·凯利在国际空间站生活将近一年。在那期间，他的心脏因为没有地心引力不断的吸引，促使他更努力工作，因而缩小了1/4以上。这个研究将凯利的心脏和著名的长距离游泳选手本·莱科姆的心脏进行比较，以及太空失重和游泳之间的对比。稍早前，有一场像彗星一样的光芒秀扫过了美国西北太平洋地区，这实际上是 SpaceX 用来运送一批该公司的星链卫星的猎鹰9号火箭在重返地球大气层时烧毁的碎片。美国之音报道。
最近有亚裔美国老人遭到袭击的报道，华盛顿特区的一名厨师看到之后决定用自己最拿手的本事予以反击。来看美国之音记者巴弗拉江的报道。
华盛顿特区的大厨田凯文认为每个人都有能力也有责任对抗种族主义。就他而言，田凯文决定和其他厨师发起一个慈善外卖晚餐系列，来帮助并保护亚裔美国人的权利。
And as soon as I called all the chefs and I said, hey, you know, there's been a rise in violence against the API community. I want to know, are you able to help? And I didn't have to tell anybody anymore. Everyone said, yes, absolutely. It doesn't matter what it is. They're here for us and they support us.
筹到的资金被用来资助一个人权团体，他们为美国的亚裔美国人争取权利。来自华盛顿几十家餐馆的45个大厨加入了田凯文的倡议。
So obviously it's important to me on a personal level because I am Asian American myself. I also have two younger daughters who,
You know, I always think about when I hear stories of violence against AAPI community, especially towards women.
每个星期天，参加活动的厨师会烹饪一顿有五道菜的特别餐，两人份的晚餐价格为$150。在第一天，厨师们就接到大约80份订单。
Whether it's, you know, the black restaurants or AAPI, we love all these chefs, and so we want to do what we can to support them.
I have always been very active in the DC dining community, so when I saw that a lot of my favorite chefs,and more notably like Asian American chefs that were collaborating to support this cause, I definitely had to make the drive out here all the way from Virginia.
加利福尼亚州立大学三月份发布的一项研究显示，尽管仇恨犯罪的整体数量有所下降，针对亚裔美国人的仇恨犯罪却激增了149%。专家认为，实际数字可能比官方统计还要高。
I would not be surprised if.The numbers reported by the Center on Hate and Extremism are an undercount, as you just suggested. Hate crime generally is underreported, and it's really hard to get accurate numbers in this context. Racial and ethnic minorities don't have excellent relationships with the police.
田凯文认为，沉默只会助长问题。
This isn't anything new, I think.You're starting to hear about it now because the crimes have become much more violent.
田凯文希望在不久的将来，甚至能从美国各地邀请到更多餐馆加入他的慈善项目。美国之音记者卡琳娜·巴弗拉江，华盛顿报道。
电影《不吉》是亚裔美国人导演黄一鸣最近拍摄的电影，描写了亚裔在美国所面临的刻板印象。男主角泰勒·高桥和美国之音记者普劳谈到了他的电影角色和影片中的亚裔形象。
No one believes in an Asian basketball player. Have mercy on my soul. It's a joke in this country.We can cook, clean, count real good, but anything else, we pick last.
布吉是一名美国华裔高中生，也是一个有天分的篮球运动员。他梦想加入 NBA 国家篮球协会，在美国的职业联盟中占据一席之地。但尽管他表现出色，仍被大学球探拒绝，而他的家人此时面临破产。日裔美国演员泰勒·高桥告诉美国之音说，就像他的角色一样，他高中时擅长篮球。
I kind of went to basketball because it was the sport that people would raise their eyebrows at. As a 5'8", 5'9", you know, Asian kid, it's one of those things that like, you're not supposed to be good at this.
高桥说，而这就是电影的信息，要打破亚裔美国人的刻板印象。
We do very similar things as everyone else does in this country, and we want to be seen in that light. We want to normalize it and not just be, you know, tagged in this box of kung fu master or nerd or scientist or doctor, and get, you know, kind of, you know, trapped in that stereotypical box.
高桥说，自从电影上映以来，一直有亚裔观众迎上来，感谢他对他们在美国的经历做了更细腻的描绘。但他补充说，这部电影也表达了整体的移民经验。
It's not just an Asian, you know, story. We're Asian vehicle and basketball is the vessel. But everyone can relate to this.
高桥还说，美国社区需对大流行期间高涨的反亚裔暴力发出更多的声音。
We never expected to have freedom or independence or equality.Any of these things you ABCs expect to have in this country.
布吉的导演黄宜宁将自己面临偏见的亲身经历作为布吉一篇的基础。
I've faced abuse and violence my entire life for being Asian. You know, like when I was five, a kid pushed me off the slide and broke my arm. But right now, it seems to be really peaking for our community, and it's a real problem.
黄一鸣说，这部篮球故事片探讨了家庭动态、身份认同和在美国作为另类的感觉。
I would just encourage everyone in their communities to educate each other, educate your family and friends, and just remind them that we're all human.
So what are you going to do?
他希望他的电影能提醒大家这一点。美国之音记者普劳报道。
感谢您收看今天的美国观察，我们下次再见。